And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Bird to your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just some high flying, ran fast vertical stems of professors from Penn watching eagles eat and pray like Pazookies on birthdays. It's Philadelphia, Marissa, Bo, and Zach kicking it cooler than three penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose. It's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Marissa, Bo, and Zach are here to squawk. Don't miss the mistress talk on some.
I have a radio hit that I'm late for. I'm gonna give my prediction. You guys can stick on. Is that okay?
Unbelievable. We find out who has priority. This is ridiculous.
We've been on for an hour and 35 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Looking forward to the post-game pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Birds with Friends on a Friday afternoon. Bo Wolf, Zach Berman, far afield, it seems like. How are you, Zach?
Doing great. Excited for this pod. Was in a lot of traffic. Was very tight getting here, but I'm here and thrilled to be here talking about practice, whatever's on your mind.
Where's here?
Friday pod. Right now I'm at my in-laws place down the shore. So shout out to David and Jody.
Very nice. Get a little summer relaxation in. We had a funny moment before the pod started, as Kent, you were asking Kent how the backdrop was. He said, "Do you mind closing the blinds?" You panicked and called in your lovely wife Emily. Said, "Emily, how do we close these blinds?" And then I heard you say, "Oh, you just pull them down."
Well, there's not a string on these blinds. You know, most blinds you use a string to go up and down. This one's just
brute force on those bad boys.
Yeah. So this is it's not necessarily a road game. It's more like a neutral. It's not like I'm in a hotel, but it's like a neutral site, so to speak.
It's like your it's like your secondary home game. It's like
I like that. Yeah,
it's like Villanova plays at on campus and at the Wells Fargo Center.
They play at the Pavilion. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a good one. Yep.
Okay. We had our second practice in a row today. We had a Thursday, Friday. This is the third padded practice we've had in a row. It was an interesting day. We had Nick Sirianni yelling at Jalen Hurts, getting on him for not handing the ball to the official. Jalen did some push-ups on the sideline to sort of self-flagellate. We had some O-line, D-line one-on-ones. We had some wide receiver DB one-on-ones. We had some interesting things going on in team drills. We talked to Jeff Stoutland after practice. We talked to Trey Sermon after practice. You did. I was not in on that gaggle, but lots to get to. Zach, what's on your mind? I think we are doing things a little differently today. We're turning things over to you.
Well, you were working hard on the practice observations.
Working hard or hardly working?
Which were entirely from you. And they are going up, I imagine, very soon. Look forward to seeing
them. They're up now.
And up now. I haven't read them yet, so I haven't seen your thoughts. So I'm kind of going raw here as well. We are.
And you like it raw.
That is a weird comment. It's a weird comment.
You like shimmy shimmy ah?
So
shimmy shimmy ah, shimmy am, shimmy a.
So what you brought up to me today.
I'll give you the mic so you can take it away.
Yeah, exactly. And I said I wasn't going to lead from the top because you're still the host. But we're not going to have a new segment. We will talk about practice. We'll do the practice report. And then we're going to do a game after the break. And what the game is I'll introduce it now. I've learned over the years that head coaches and general managers tend to view the roster differently. Naturally, their jobs are different. Head coach, long-term with the head coach is next week. You know, long-term with the GM is next year, year after that. As Nick Sirianni pointed out this week, he doesn't have to worry about contracts. He doesn't worry about draft picks. The terms of engagement are different for both jobs. And so I always wonder if you have truth serum and you ask a coach and a GM to evaluate a player or a position, how would those things be different? So what the game is, and this might be the only time we run this game because it might not be a very good one. It was just something I was thinking in practice when I was looking at both of them, was it's a truth serum game. There is a bird. I know we have to use bird puns. There is a bird called Sarum thrush. Okay, Sarum thrush is a species of birds in the family. I'm not going to try this pronunciation. It's endemic to the rainforest on Sarum in Indonesia. Okay? So I'm sure your creative mind can come up with a – if you just invert
Sarum thrush. Sarum thrush, it's fine.
Yeah, okay.
It's the name of
the game. We'll do Sarum thrush. So that's going to be after the break where I'm going to name positions for you, and I want you to tell me what Nick would say and what Howie would say about those positions.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure. Let's do it.
If you had one dose of truth serum and you could give it to anybody in the Eagles organization and ask them one question, who would you give it to and what would your question be?
Great, great question. I mean, I don't know. I need some time to ponder that because that's great responsibility there. And there's a lot of dynamics. You want someone who, A, you don't have access to typically, right? B, someone who doesn't always tell the truth. C, someone who has the gravity of decisions. Okay. And D, someone who knows something. So so there's
one other aspect of it. I want to know how you would slip the serum to them.
Well, I don't know how to do it. Is there multiple ways to deliver?
I don't know. Maybe this is a serum you could drop in a drink. Maybe this is one you gotta stab them with. I don't know.
Yeah,
an edible.
You're really well versed on how to ingest.
I've never dealt with serum, but could be anything. I think it's got to be Jeffrey or Howie, one of those two people. If you only get one shot.
Yeah, presumably so. Presumably so. It has to be something that happened behind closed doors that only few people are company to. As has been told to me in the past, sometimes, when you hear things, it's like the whisper down the lane campaign where one person tells someone and it's not the people who are in the room. So you want people who are in the room, so to speak. I would like that. But let's get to the Quactus report. I feel odd saying that. Can I just say practice report?
You already said Quactus report, okay. So now you can
say Quactus report. And we're not doing a news segment, but I'll just establish news up front. The big news today was that Patrick Johnson left practice early. Looked like a
– not left saying knee. He was grabbing his left knee.
Yeah. So there's conflicting reports out there as far as the significance of it. We'll find out more. But that's what happened during practice as far as injury-wise. And then James Bradberry, N'Kobe Dean – we'd be remiss if we did not update you because they left practice yesterday and they are practicing. They did not practice today. So they were both out of practice. And then other than that, Deion Kane remained sidelined and the Avante Maddox, Derek Barnett, Hassan Reddick trio remains limited but continue to take more work. So that's the news.
And let's question.
Yes.
Cole Hamels hasn't played since 2020.
As opposed to a dishonest question?
I didn't know that he wasn't already retired.
Yeah, so...
He's played in 3 years.
Yeah, so my guess is he was still drawing a salary. And if you're drawing a salary, you're not on the reserve retired list. So I imagine the salary hit the certain threshold, right?
Okay.
And so went on the reserve retired list. So
the no N'Kobe Dean thing is interesting. And we talked about this yesterday. Yeah. It gives the Eagles a chance to mess around with some things because they've only got six linebackers on the roster. But today I think we saw the continuation of what we saw yesterday and two things that were interesting. One was, the first snap of team drill with the first team defense. who's out there with Christian Ellis, but Nolan Smith as the linebacker, playing some off-ball linebacker. I think he got 3 or 4 reps there. But I actually think that the player who got more reps there was Terrell Edmunds, and it's what we talked about yesterday. I think he would make more sense there long-term, but it's a nice way to get Nolan Smith on the field. It does seem, as far as I'm concerned, like I've been trying to sort of slow the Nolan hype, the Nolan Smith hype train a little bit. It's getting harder to do that. He's been very active. Yep. He made a play today, lined up as a 4-eye when he's like slashed into the backfield and made a nice run defense play. They are clearly looking for ways to get him involved, and I think they are like rightfully doing so. They need him to get involved. I don't want to steal the take from one of our compatriots here, but we were talking on the sideline, and I think we agree that there's a good chance that maybe Nolan Smith makes a more of an impact right away than Jalen Carter.
That's an interesting way to frame it. I think they're both going to have an impact. I mean, look, there's a reason why I mocked Nolan Smith to the Eagles in the first round, right? He has this type of talent. The Terrell Edmunds point is also a good one. I'm going
to he went like 200% later in the round than you predicted him to go.
If I predicted him to be their first round pick, he was their first round pick. Okay,
not,
so
not so.
We don't need to relitigate the truth here. You sound like
you are stretching the truth.
But the Terrell Edmunds move, this is very esoteric. I don't know how many people who are listening or watching will understand this reference, but those who do will fully appreciate it. Okay.
I always love a nice buildup for an esoteric reference.
Okay. This is an old fashioned Madden move to take the safety with strength and move him to linebacker. And then that rating always bumps up, right? Like you take a 75 safety who has like 85 strength, and then you put him at linebacker, and he's like an 83 linebacker. So this is
Bob Sanders all of a sudden in the box.
Yeah. So there are people who are listening to this who are shaking their head. Oh, I'm sorry, who are nodding their head rather. And there are people like this who are just dumbfounded by what I'm talking about. So that's
you know what? I don't think that's as esoteric as you think. People even if they didn't play or do that, they understand the concept of playing Madden. It's not like you're, you know, referencing a specific line from Sports Night that only you remember.
I don't know. I think, and I say this lovingly, if my father-in-law is in the other room watching this right now, he won't understand that reference. So
now, did your father-in-law, did he make that fish behind you?
He's a big fisherman. He might have caught. Well, did he make it? I don't know who made that. I didn't know what kind of fish that was. No, he
is that not? I feel like that's got to be a Reed. Did Reed not make that?
Oh, I just got a text. Emily made it.
Emily made it. Oh, nice.
I wonder what age, but she made it in the third grade.
Nicely done, Emily.
Let's get Bo back on here. Okay, yeah, she made that in the third grade.
Very talented.
He is quite the fisherman, though. So I'm gonna give him credit there. Back to the topic on hand.
That was a quick trigger on the text from Emily. That was fantastic.
Yeah, I sent her the link. She's watching this right now. Okay. So we were talking about the linebacker situation. A little flex here on my ride. I was on the Anthony Gargano show, and
That's so funny. What a pull from Kent to pull the intro that featured you leaving Birds with Friends to go on that show on the same day you were on that show.
Is that right?
How did he know?
And I said that that linebackers have not been impressive to me this summer. N'Kobe Dean missed time today. It shows you how bare they are at that position when they're playing a safety there and they're playing an edge rusher there. There's only a handful of different things. And it reminds me so much of safety last year when it was clear to all of us watching that they did not have an adequate solution on their roster, and it took them a bit. They landed on C.J. Gardner-Johnson on cutdown day. You don't know if you're going to get that quality of player, but I definitely don't think they are finished at safety. I'm sorry, at linebacker, rather.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think that we talked about that heading into camp, that we would be surprised if this was done and dusted how they're going into the season, and I think that's probably right. I think it's worth noting that, like, Nicholas Morrow is not, like, being given starting caliber treatment in the way that they're using him on the depth chart. He spends a lot of time with the twos. You know, he was off the field in favor of Terrell Edmunds and Nolan Smith at different times today. I don't think, and this is a little bit along the lines of what we saw with Anthony Harris last summer. Mm-hmm. I don't think that he's, like, definitely not going to make the team, but I don't think that he is a big part of their plans on defense.
Yeah, I asked him about this yesterday, if he had the expectation leaving the spring that he'd be kind of the starting linebacker, and he kind of gave the answer he doesn't make the depth chart, right? He does what he's told, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Practice today. What stood out to you? You teased earlier the Jalen Hurts thing. We should also know Jalen threw his first interception of the summer, but I think context is required for that too. It was a hurry-up situation where he needed to throw the ball. It would have done him nothing to run or throw it away. So it was a nice play by Darius Slay, but it was also he might have taken an approach that was a little more aggressive than he typically would.
But it was a little bit of a – and this all happened in the same period. Yeah. So this was the first time we got to see this period this summer. They did a move the ball drill, which is what happens when, you know, they say – Nick Sirianni gets on the microphone, says, like, a minute, 5 seconds left, one timeout, end of the half, you know, ball's on the 35. That interception was a bit of a ball don't lie deal because on the first play of that drill – Hurts threw the ball to his left, and Reed Blankenship nearly intercepted it, got both hands on the ball, and it bounced off into A.J. Brown's hands for a completion. So maybe the later Slay one was that one getting back at him. But yes, as you said, it turned into like a third down or fourth down play as the time's running out. He's got to get rid of the ball. Slay gets the interception. No big deal. Then after that drive ends unsuccessfully, Nick Sirianni wants to set up a separate situation, which is like 25 seconds left in the half, no timeouts left, 3rd and 5. They call a play, and the play is it's like a read option for Jalen Hurts. He keeps the ball and is quote-unquote tackled about 4 yards downfield. Nick Sirianni says, ball's down, and we know this means it's time for a fire drill field goal, right? Everybody's got to – this is what they're practicing. They want to practice this operation. Can they get this done? And as the play is going on, Nick Sirianni starts yelling at Jalen Hurts. And at first, I thought this was because he said he was talking about you didn't give the ball off. I thought he was yelling at him for not handing the ball to the running back, as if it was a strictly called play to hand the ball off, and Jalen Hurts instead kept it for himself. I think what actually was is that Jalen Hurts didn't hand the ball to the referee to keep the operation going smoothly. Jalen Hurts then yelled something back at Nick Sirianni. We didn't hear what that was. I don't want to just guess here, but I think maybe Hurts thought he got the first down, and that was part of it, in which case they could have then gone up to the line and spiked the ball. But Sirianni wasn't having none of that. Yeah. He was really, really going after him. And Hurts was sort of like, you could tell a little bit miffed on the sideline, and then he took a few minutes, and then after like 3 minutes, he just started doing some push-ups as if he had like thought it over and was like, all right, I guess I did something wrong. And Nick Sirianni has talked before. We have seen him coach Jalen Hurts hard before, you know, more so in 2021. But one of the things that he says he loves about Jalen is that, you know, you've heard it before, coach's kid, he can take hard coaching. Jalen says the same thing. So I don't think this is like something to worry about too much, but it's notable because it's the first time we've seen it in a while. And Jalen Hurts has otherwise had a very good training camp. I think there is Nick Sirianni was a little bit on the warpath today. And so I think, you know, an opportunity for him to show the rest of the team that, you know, he's equal opportunity about this, you know, situational stuff is probably not a bad thing.
You like that. So get on your best player, because if you know, it's
like Belichick's always ripping Tom Brady, right?
That was always his thing. Right. And if he gets on you, he can get on anyone else. And, I heard Nick Nurse anecdote this offseason when they lose game one of the playoffs the year they won the finals. And he calls in Kyle Lowry and Kawhi Leonard. He says, I'm going to rip into you guys in this next meeting. He rips into them. They go out. They win their next game by 40 or something. And the rest is history, right? So, yeah, I see the truth.
The rest is history. He later gets fired.
Well, he won a championship, right? So, yeah. But, no, I thought it was an awesome sequence. No issue with Sirianni doing that like that in a head coach. That's a big deal. I really like seeing that. The situational drill itself, I think, is awesome to do. I think more coaches should do that. This is exactly what football is preparing. This is what practice should be, preparing you for situations so you know it now so you don't make the mistake in December or January. It's literally the Dak Prescott play, right? The Cowboys lost a home playoff game with this type of play. So it behooves you to think of these scenarios. Sirianni's famous I shouldn't say famous. He's well known in the building. I wrote a story last year on the Super Bowl run about his situational meetings where he will put his coordinators or people in the room. It's like the Socratic method, you know, 2nd and 8 on the 31 yard line with 4 minutes to go. What's the call, you know? And I think
it makes him such a good dad.
Well, it's funny. This is not related to the such a good dad thing, although you did make me snicker there. The person I was watching practice to was saying you love this. It's like game theory. And the thing is, I'm not good at game theory, as we've learned on this pod. I need to get better at it. I do need to sit into Professor Selman's classes. But I am much better at game situation stuff. So I'm turning to the person next to me like, oh, what do you do here? And he's like nodding his shoulders like, I don't care. I'm just watching practice, you know. So I get really into what the approach is. I thought it was cool to do. I think that it did strike me the way you explained it, that he did not hand the ball to the ref, and that was the issue. I also think he thought he might have gotten the first down. I thought watching it that he got the first down. I thought the situation was kind of rigged against him, right? They probably were not going to rule the first down no matter what, because the whole purpose of it, I think, was to rush the field goal unit onto the field.
Right. But you could have done the exact same thing if they had gotten the first down, practice getting the spike. But
exactly.
Anyway. The other thing that jumped out to me today, and this is like probably too flowery and highfalutin, but were you watching wide receiver DB one-on-ones?
Yeah, for part of the time. Yeah.
Jalen Hurts made some throws, and listen, you know, I know that particular drill is heavily weighted towards the offense. But there were some really tight coverages where Jalen Hurts, like, his ball placement was perfect. Like, he put it in the only place where the wide receiver could make a play, and it was in exactly that right place. There was one where Quez Watkins rose above Avante Maddox in the corner of the end zone. These were about like 25 yard passes. There was another one to, I want to say, Tyree Cleveland, but
yes,
I'm right. And it reminded me of the joint practices with the Patriots against Tom Brady.
Ooh, now you're,
I know.
Wow.
When it was like there is no defense for a perfect pass. Like, you know, we joke about that's when he like ended Curtis Marsh's career, right? He would just pick on Curtis Marsh. But it, no matter what happened, the ball would just be put in the perfect place. And I do think that we've said that Jalen Hurts is having a very good summer, but the ball placement stuff, I think we've talked about it on throws over the middle and in tight coverages, and he's always been good at throwing the ball downfield, but I just for whatever reason it struck me that like the perfectness of the ball placement on some of those throws was just wild, and we're maybe taking it for granted a little bit.
Yeah, I think he's been awesome this summer, and I'm not ready to compare him to Tom Brady, but I think they have a franchise quarterback, and he's been playing that way this summer.
It also stood, and part of it was, it stood in stark contrast to, we keep kicking Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
But like, he kept just missing guys in one-on-ones. Like, guys were open and he would just like throw an incompletion. I don't know. It's pretty stark contrast.
I'm sorry to be distracted here. I've received two texts about this. We do have a bit of breaking news here. WTOV9, Josh Sills is found not guilty on both counts of rape and kidnapping. I don't have more details on that other than this is from Jessica Lynn Riley at WTOV9 in, I guess, Steubenville, Ohio, in Ohio. Josh Sills is still on the commissioner's exempt list. Okay. So that's what someone texted me asking what would happen now with Sills's roster status. Still on the commissioner exempt list. He needs to be taken off the commissioner exempt list, and then the Eagles would have a decision to make. I don't want to speculate as to what they would do, but I mean, I was not thinking Josh Sills is part of this team long term. After last year, we'll see. He was found not guilty, so I haven't really thought much about his roster status, that's the latest in the Josh Sills situation, and we will update you as more information comes in.
Okay. I don't know enough about it.
Neither did I. That's why I did not.
you broke up the show to come in and tell us what was going on, so that's good. But yeah,
I'd be remiss if I didn't bring it up, right? I mean,
I guess.
Should I have let that roll? Well, what's the best approach here?
I don't know. I suppose you could have waited until after the break, and you could have gathered your thoughts to figure out what you were gonna say about it. But I don't know. It's good.
I didn't know I was being critiqued for sharing news.
No, but you're the one, you broke in with it, and then you're like, I don't know what to say about this.
I'm just updating.
Okay.
I'm updating our audience in case they are not consuming.
I have no sense of whether
neither do I. Neither do
they
I.
Still want him on the roster or not.
Neither do I. Yeah. Exactly. all right. So back to practice.
Let's see what else. I've been like hoping that one of these down roster receivers is going to pop for me a little bit. And it hasn't really happened.
Really? Okay. One has popped to me.
Is it Ngata for you?
Yeah. Joseph Ngata for me.
Yeah. I mean, he's been okay. He's made some plays for he scored a touchdown on Keely Ringo today. Keely Ringo has been really up and down. We talked yesterday about the really nice play he made against Devontae Smith. He made a few bad plays today and was victimized. I'm reading that more as like a down on Ringo than an up for Ngata, but he's made some nice plays. I kind of like Jaden Hazelwood in the slot. He's made some like really nice like plucks, really really clean catches on difficult passes over the middle. But I don't know. I'm not seeing enough juice out of those guys.
So the down the depth chart wide receiver who I actually think has stood out the most is Greg Ward.
He had a nice play today.
He's also in his seventh season, so it's like, what are you going to do there?
Yeah.
I'm curious to see. Of those undrafted rookies / first-year players, Ngata has stood out to me the most. That's the one who, if I'm going to take a flyer on someone, I'm taking a flyer on him. Former top recruit, has the build, battled some injuries when he was at Clemson. I think there was a point in time, for instance, when he was viewed as like the heir apparent in this Clemson wide receiver lineage, if you will, the Sammy Watkins, T. Higgins, you know, DeAndre Hopkins before that,
Deion Kane.
they've had some really good receivers come through there, and Justin Ross was in that group. Then Justin Ross had some, but. Yeah, so I'm curious to see if Ngata shows up in the preseason. I know this is partly because we do daily practice observations and we do daily pods and everything's like in the moment. They have a preseason game. They have three preseason games, three joint practices. There's a lot of time left for this depth chart and these stocks to go up and down. I don't think anything is kind of like near determined right now, other than what we talked about yesterday, which is I continue to think that, like you pointed out, the fact that Tyler Steen's getting more work at left tackle goes to show that Cam Jurgens is probably farther ahead at right guard than I probably thought going into camp.
So Jeff Stoutland talked after practice today, and he said something to the effect of, like, you know, you guys know what we do. We cross train these guys early because you got to be prepared. If you're not a starter, you got to be able to play a bunch of different things. And you know, I'm not gonna call out Jeff Stoutland, and I don't want to get in a back and forth with him. But that is not how they have handled rookies before. And so it is notable that Tyler Steen is cross training right guard and left tackle. I do think it's over. Barring injury. It was interesting, though, that we did see today, sometimes they do this sort of load management with the offensive line guys. And so Jason Kelsey, Lane Johnson, and Landon Dickerson were all playing sort of half the snaps in team drills. And when they were off the field, they were replaced by – so Mailata was at left tackle, Sua Opeta was at left guard, Cam Jurgens was at center, and then Steen was at right guard, and Jack Driscoll was at right tackle. So one other thing we've talked about is that the – snaps from the backup centers on the second and third teams, Brett Toth and Julian Good-Jones and sometimes Cameron Tom, have been pretty bad throughout camp. Like, Toth's snaps have been sometimes debilitatingly so, like ruining drills almost. There's no doubt to me that if something were to happen to Jason Kelsey, they would just put Jurgens at center and Steen at right guard. But I think if everybody stays healthy, Jurgens is your right guard, no doubt.
Yeah, I think
he's also been really good, I think.
Yeah, I'll defer to you with matters of the offensive line, but I think he's been good too. I mean I don't watch him and think like he's Landon Dickerson out there, but I think he's been good. I will say you just brought up a really good point. Someone asked me recently, like, they're like, man, this team really needs a backup center. And I'm like, well, their backup centers are starting right guard. You know, I mean, Cam Jurgens slides over if something happens to Kelsey. They have guard depth, whether it's Steen, whether it's Jack Driscoll. They have guys who can play right guard. So, Cam Jurgens is their backup center.
I am a little bit worried about their offensive line depth. I don't think that it's as strong as it has been in years past. I think you've got Driscoll and Steen, and that's all you can rely on right now.
Yeah, save it for the next segment.
Okay.
Yeah, save it for the next segment. Let's not. I don't play your games before we start playing them, right?
Okay, so, that's fine.
What else from practice jumped out to you?
I saw him make a few plays yesterday for the first time, and then today, I really started to notice a nice coming on for seventh round pick Moro Ojimo, 56% O, as we all know. He was looking really good in one-on-ones. He's got some power, no doubt. And he made a really nice play in team drills when he sort of knifed, I believe it was Cameron Tom, who he knifed inside and for like a would-be sack. It's a tough roster spot to win because Marlon Tuipulotu has been really good and is really strong and stout. And I think he's like clearly the number five defensive tackle right now. If they keep six, I think Ojimo's got a shot.
What's his best position?
Quarterback.
No, seriously. No.
O lineman.
Now, what's
he's an O lineman?
What's Ojimo's best position?
I think his best position is the Milton Williams position, from what I can see.
Yeah.
I don't think he's not a nose tackle. Yeah. I think he's a developmental pass rusher from the inside.
Because he played across the line when he was at Texas. So.
Yeah. So I don't know. He's on the radar. I am far from settling on a Beowulf camp crush. I have to do it before the preseason game. I think that's the rule. I can't wait for the preseason game.
But he's eligible, correct? Seventh round.
Yeah, he's eligible. Okay. Most people are eligible if it's going to be a big bump. But the heart is eager, but has so far left wanting.
Oh, I can imagine your heart will find what it's looking for.
I hope so.
I was watching 7-on-7s while you were taking part in 101, or when you were watching 101s, you weren't taking part in it. Although it wouldn't surprise me if Stoutland called you over and, you know, wanted to talk shop. The two best offensive line evaluators in that building. I'll say there was a play. I think it was the second play, not the first play, of 7-on-7s. So Josh Jobe getting first team reps today with Bradbury out, and Jobe was defending Devontae Smith. It wasn't tight red zone, but it was like red zone, and throw down the left sideline from Hurts to Devontae, and Jobe stride for stride with Devontae, and then makes a play on the ball, breaks up the pass. Really impressed by Jobe there. Looked like a starting caliber cornerback. I came into camp thinking, all right, Greedy Williams is ahead of Josh Jobe. Keely Ringo is going to be ahead of Josh Jobe. Josh Jobe, they carried last year. They liked him. They carried him through injury. He came to fit Eagles on a top 30 visit, has that Alabama background. And he might be their third corner on the outside. He was in there today. They're playing McPherson more in the slot, right? So I think that's something to watch.
Yeah, I think Jobe's been solid. I'm with you. I would have considered him just on the outside looking in and heading into camp, and I'm not so sure that's the case right now. How do you feel about Greedy Williams?
I was expecting more. Perhaps I was being greedy, but see what I did there, huh? Yeah, I was expecting more. You know me. I mean, a second-round pick from LSU who had 26 years old.
Got that anchoring.
Yeah, 6'2". Man, that's my profile right there. And he hasn't jumped out to me yet so far. So we'll see. Again, a lot of time. Really curious to see Greedy Williams against his former team next week. The Browns come in. Not next week. The week after that. The Browns come in, and I think they actually have some decent receivers this year relative to last year. So curious to see how he looks then.
Shout out to Chisholm, our Oklahoma correspondent, who is watching live and quickly hops in with his Jaden Hazelwood scouting report. Now, we all remember Hazelwood. I say we all remember. I'm assuming the Sickos was like the number one overall wide receiver prospect in the country coming out of high school. Chisholm says he was an awesome receiver at Oklahoma and really fun in practices. He got hurt his sophomore year, his knee, and athletically was just never the same. But he is the type of receiver who makes unreal contested catches but drops simple wide-open passes, which is sometimes frustrating. So there you go.
Also in those 7-on-7s, Jalen, he did not throw the ball twice in one period there, which jumps out. 7-on-7, you should not hold the ball too long. Yeah, exactly. So it was good coverage one time, and then the next time, he rolled out to his right. He had Quez Watkins breaking into the end zone. Quez was tightly covered, but it seemed like there was some miscommunication there. I don't want to say the person I was standing next to because I don't know if we were on the record, but I said, should Jalen have thrown that? And the guy said, yeah, he probably should have thrown that to Quez. So, that just jumped out of either good defense or indecisiveness from Jalen, but those were the highlights from that 7-on-7 period.
Josh Tolentino reports that Josh Sills's attorney says Sills is expected to travel to Philadelphia and rejoin the Eagles within the next couple days.
There's your update. Thank you, Josh Tolentino. That is. I just want to be clear which Josh I was referring to.
We got you.
Okay.
All right. Why don't you throw us to break so we can play some Serum Thrush.
So if you ever wanted to know what the head coach and the general manager are thinking when they're in a room together evaluating this roster, stay tuned after this break.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome back to Birds with Friends. I'm Zach Furman alongside Bo Wolf here doing it for Eagles training camp update day 6. And you heard in the first segment all about the day 6 practice, but now we're going to make this big picture here. And we're going to put Bo on the spot in a game. It's called Truth Serum or Serum Thrush, if we want to use the bird pun. And the premise of this game is this. As I mentioned up top, the head coach and the GM have different ways of looking at a roster. If you gave them Truth Serum, how will they look at some of the more, I don't want to say polarizing, but more the positions that leave more room for debate on this roster? Who do they want to be up top the depth chart? Who would they want to get rid of or move on from if they had to? So I am going to bring up number of positions to Bo here. This isn't going to be quarterback. I think we've already discussed Marcus Mariota, Ian Book, Tanner McKee. You have 5 days of training camp updates to find that. But it's some other ones here. So we're going to start off with running back. Bo, if Nick Sirianni's given Truth Serum and Howie Roseman's given Truth Serum, how are they evaluating this roster?
Well, who am I first?
And you don't have to say you don't have to speak in, and it's not like the mock press conference, okay? If you want to, feel free. But this is more just like you're giving analysis on their thinking. Let's start with Nick Sirianni.
I think Nick Sirianni is thinking, we've got what we need here. You know, I'm glad I don't have Miles Sanders not following blocks anymore. We've got Jalen Hurts, and that opens a lot of things up. I think I'm excited to see DeAndre Swift's explosiveness in this offense. I think we could do some interesting things with him as a receiver. I'm excited about what Rashad Penny can do, maybe in short yardage situations. The truth is that I trust Kenny Gainwell more than I trust any of these new guys. He's still going to be my guy in 2-minute drills. Trey Sermon really impressed me in practice last year. And I don't know if you saw him have those 2 carries in a game, but I love that guy. And Boston Scott is like a child to me, and you know how good of a parent I am. So I'm feeling pretty good about the running backs, and I think we've got good numbers.
Does Nick's, is there any
By part the way, of it? there is a very fun, I'm sorry. The Eagles went live full tackle for one play today. They were doing it for the same move the ball drill. They had the threes on the field. And somebody made a very astute point that the only time we ever will see Kennedy Brooks get a carry is when they're going live on the threes. So the poor guy had to be the only one who's been tackled all camp long.
Yeah, so the only live periods I had last year was also the third teamers. And Nick was saying he thinks it's valuable for them. Is there any part of Nick that says to Howie, can you just call your boy Ballard and see what the price is for Jonathan Taylor? I know that, you know, you don't like to pay running backs, but I love this guy coming out of Wisconsin. You all saw the clip of me during COVID, how excited I was when we drafted him. I mean, this
would put our offense. We all have seen that clip.
Okay, well, a lot of us have. This would
put, I think, the offense, you have seen that clip.
Okay, this would put the offense on hyperdrive. Is there any part of him that would do that?
I think there's I'm sure that he would love that. Of course he would. I don't think that's like the craziest thing in the world, because I don't think that anyone's going to pay Jonathan Taylor. So right now. So if Jonathan Taylor is so desperate to get out of Indianapolis that he's willing to go somewhere else and still play on this rookie contract.
Is he though?
I don't know. Okay. I'm saying that's it. That's why I'm saying if.
Well, this is his hometown, right? So
okay.
He's from South Jersey.
Then Salem. I don't think that's insane. But yeah, I don't think they're going to give up anything significant. I think they should feel, I think Nick Sirianni probably feels pretty good about the running back situation. What do you think?
Oh yeah, I agree. I think he has a good mix here. And I do think I think he's happy with this group. I think he probably views this as an upgrade over what they had last year when Miles Sanders was the top guy.
I think so too.
What do you think Howie thinks about this group?
I think Howie thinks it's really funny when Nick Sirianni keeps talking about Trey Sermon's carries from last year. I think it's a joke between the two of them. I think it cracks him up. I don't think Trey Sermon's going to make the team. But I think that I think Howie's thinking, Howie, you beautiful bastard, you did it again. You pulled one over on him. Look at what you've created. You've got all these different options, and he's probably thinking, wouldn't it be nice if we could get Rashad Penny on injured reserve for the first half of the season so we could have him healthy down the stretch?
And he's also probably scanning, what, the 2021 draft at this point and trying to figure out, like, okay,
who's he going to get next year?
Yeah, who's the running back on the expiring deal next year I'm going to trade for once I let DeAndre Swift leave for a big contract somewhere else this offseason?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah. And we don't need to go long for all of these. Depth wide receiver. Nick Sirianni first.
Nick Sirianni's thinking, you guys got to sink your hips lower. So that's what he kept saying today to the wide receivers and individual drills. You guys got to get your hips lower, guys.
Those are his babies. And we all know how good a father he is.
Yeah, that's right.
No, with no wide receivers.
I think Nick's thinking, look at these slappies. This is my position. I don't have enough depth here. He's probably thinking, I could get these guys better than Aaron Moorhead could get them. What's Aaron Moorhead doing? Let me step in here and get these guys better. You give me a guy like Joseph Ngata, and I'm going to turn him into Martavis Bryant or something. Or who did he have in San Diego? Tyrell Williams.
Tyrell Williams?
Yeah, okay. I could turn this guy into Tyrell Williams.
Where did Tyrell Williams go to college?
New Mexico State.
No, Western Oregon, I believe.
Okay, close enough. Okay. West of the Mississippi. He's thinking Jaden Hazelwood. This guy could be my Keenan Allen. But no, I got Aaron Moorhead over here who can't coach wide receivers out of a paper bag.
I don't think he thinks that.
Of course not.
Yeah.
No, I think he thinks, I wish these guys were better, but if we have to use them, we're in trouble anyway.
Okay. Okay. I see that. And then how about Howie? Same thing?
Yeah. Howie's thinking, everybody, I don't understand. Why is it that nobody is giving me any credit for getting Olamide Zaccheaus? Look at his numbers. This guy was unbelievable in terms of like per route production on a bad passing offense last year. I signed him for peanuts. He's going to be our number four receiver, and nobody's given me any credit. I nailed that. People are talking about we didn't add anything to the wide receiver room. I got Olamide Zaccheaus back home in Philadelphia. This guy's going to be a fan favorite. You're kidding me. We're stacked.
Yeah, he's saying, why do you guys keep bringing up that Justin Jefferson pick when I drafted Devontae Smith number 10? I traded for A.J. Brown and gave him a contract when the Titans were willing to let him go. Quez Watkins in the sixth round, I drafted him. He's outproduced what most sixth-round picks do. And by the way,
John Hightower.
And by the way, my scouting, I'm able to find these undrafted guys for you to develop. You always talk about how you can coach these guys up. Here's these top recruits coming out. All right, let's see what you can do.
Yeah. Okay.
Is he thinking? I see someone say how he's dreading what he'll have to pay Devontae Smith and the cap ramifications. I actually don't think so. Howie loves rewarding his guys, right? And Devontae, I don't think that Devontae Smith contract is going to be a hard one unless like Devontae has unreasonable numbers in mind. I think the Eagles are totally fine paying two top wide receivers. They know how rare this is.
Yes, yeah. I think they will get that done as soon as they can.
Yeah. I think they're more apt to let someone walk who's not like a draft pick who they've developed, who they view as like a core player here.
I agree. Those are flag planting players.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
Offensive line depth. You mentioned this earlier. What is Nick thinking? What's Howie thinking?
I think Nick is thinking, didn't we play against Fred Johnson like 4 years ago? Didn't Roderick Johnson, wasn't he in the league 5 years ago? Didn't I do him coming out in 2015? What's going on here? I know we had a luxury of having a first round pick and Andre Dillard as a backup last year, but Dennis Kelly, I coached against this guy twice a year for a 3 year stretch. What's going on? I'm worried. We've got, I know I trust Jeff Stoutland, but if we have more than, two injuries, which, most teams, if they have more than two offensive line injuries, you're in trouble, but This is not the same room that we had last year. I'm a little bit worried.
So, okay.
And I think Howie's thinking, dear Lord, please don't let there be any offensive line injuries this year. Dear Lord, please don't let there be any offensive line injuries this year. Dear Lord, please don't let there be any offensive line injuries this year. I promise you, I will do whatever it takes.
So, you know what Howie's saying.
If I have to have a nice conversation with Zach Berman, I will do it as long as you promise me there will be no offensive line injuries this year.
Now, if you give Howie the truth serum, he's saying, what I think this city takes for granted is that we really haven't had many down years, right? And the only two down years we've had, it's been because the offensive line was deteriorated. And we need to do our best to make sure we have that fortified. I brought in Dennis Kelly right before camp. We've been keeping these guys around who Stout loves. Stout's the best at this. But if this is a concern for you, Nick, then I will make another move here, because this is so important to our success.
Yeah, I am a little bit worried about this. I mean, it's an incredible luxury that we're talking about, like, who's the eighth offensive lineman going to be? But, you know, Sue has been just okay this summer. He's on the last year of his deal. You got Dennis Kelly, who's been around, but he was around for a reason on the street. Trevor Reed has some interesting tools. I was expecting to see a little bit more from him so far. And then the other guys are journeymen who were on the practice squad last year. So, I don't know.
It's not a position where you have talent on the street. If they did something, what would it be?
I don't know. No one's in the business of giving up good offensive linemen.
Exactly.
So, I don't know what that would be.
I agree. Defensive line. Oh well, let's combine edge rusher and D tackle for the sake of time.
Okay.
Yeah. What's Howie saying? Oh, I'm sorry. What's Nick saying? What's Howie saying?
Nick is saying, I like this Nolan Smith. I'll tell you what. this guy looks pretty explosive. I'm excited to see him out there. But I'm a little bit worried about the interior. You know, Javon was such a big part of our team last year. I miss that guy. Miss him every day. Just like I miss Shane Steichen, and just like I don't really miss Jonathan Gannon that much. I wish that guy didn't lie to us so that we could have Vic Fangio as my defensive coordinator. I'd feel a lot better about this defensive line if we had Vic Fangio. But that's okay. Where was I? Oh yeah, the defensive line. I've got Fletcher Cox. I'm hoping that he's not going to publicly call out his new defensive coordinator again this year. But I'm excited about Milton Williams. Jordan Davis is looking good. Jalen Carter, I'd like to see a little bit more right now. I might need to get after his ass tomorrow at practice. We'll see. But Marlon Tuipulotu sure is a brick house. I don't know.
So can I ask you something? Is your distaste for Gannon because you know
what are you talking about?
No,
that's not me. That's Sirianni.
No, I'm asking you though. Is your distaste for Gannon Sirianni because it plays well with the crowd? Is that why, or is that?
I'm playing a bit.
Okay,
I'm playing a part.
Okay.
He didn't call me back last night.
That's true. Okay, fair enough. And what's Howie saying about this group?
Howie, you beautiful bastard! You did it again. Yeah. This is what we're all about. O-line, D-line. We did it again. You unbelievable bastard. You found a way to get the best player in the draft at number 8. How do you do it? You are handsome. You are smart. You are genius. You don't get enough credit. Nobody gives you the credit you deserve. You are the best general manager who's ever existed. And Jalen Carter is going to be one of the parts of your resume when you are enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think you probably nailed the spirit of that in the sense of, yeah, that if he did public comments, he said, someone told me this, I didn't see it, but someone told me that people said we had the deepest, front seven in the league. You know, I mean, sometimes you guys pick out problems, but the rest of the league, they're envious of what we got here. There is a degree of validity. I think this front, they lost one of the top interior rushers in the league, and I think this front might be better this year.
I don't agree with that at all.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they're not going to be close to as good.
In terms of sack production, in terms of quality of play,
yeah, and both. I am worried. I was doing the Howie thing. I am worried that they are not going to be as impactful up the
middle. Okay. All right. Let's have this conversation for 2 minutes. I'm curious why you say that. And well, here, let me give you my pitch first. Okay, Hargrave was a big loss. No doubt about it. I think they have better depth at edge rusher now. They lost Barnett in week one last year, and they're basically playing with three guys for most of the year at edge. They have more depth here. And then they don't have anyone who compares to the production that Hargrave gave him last year. I think you can't just say that, but they played the stretch run last year with Joseph and Sue, and I'm expecting Jordan Davis to be better this year. I think Jalen Carter adds something, and I think Milton Williams is going to be better. I just think they have depth and they can withstand injury more. And I guess last year at its optimum was better. And clearly there's going to be injuries that affect things this year. But if everyone's healthy, I think the depth of this group is good.
I think they're deep. Not as high end talent. I think.
Okay. Well, all right. That's fair. Yeah.
If you just think about the front, you want to tell me that Hassan Reddick and Josh Sweat are going to be just as good or potentially a little bit better. I'll buy that. Brandon Graham, not going to be as good. Okay. All expectations, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know what you expect out of Derek Barnett or Janarius Robinson, but Nolan Smith is a nice addition to that room. I think that's an improvement over what they had. I think the edge should be good, should be really good.
Yes.
Fletcher Cox is going to be worse, most likely. Jordan Davis, a little bit better, but maybe not quite as good as Linval Joseph was last year. Milton Williams, a little bit better than he was last year. So that's Milton Williams being better. But Jalen Carter is not going to be as good as Javon Hargrave was. Javon Hargrave was the second best player on the defense last year.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to agree with you there.
I don't think that they're going to get that high end up the middle production. I just don't.
Okay. All right. I'm actually in agreement there. I was speaking more to the depth that they have, but you're right.
They're also worse at linebacker, right? Right. Oh, much and worse, so like much worse. The box is not going to be as good. The spine of the defense, I think, is a real concern.
And safety. They're much worse at safety.
Right. Too. The spine of the defense. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Look, I actually think
they're probably going to be worse on the outside at cornerback because those guys are both over 30. Like,
yeah, I actually think
this is an edge built defense.
Yeah. I think we're in agreement. We just framed it differently. Right. Like, I think this team's deeper, probably not better. That's probably a better way of putting it. But I think there's a lot of upside if these guys develop quickly.
Which is not – doesn't have a ton of precedent.
Linebacker.
What is Nick thinking?
Yeah.
Nick is thinking
get me help, Hallie.
Nick is thinking, I might as well spend some time on offense because that linebacker situation is so bad that we're going to need to score a lot of points.
Yeah, Nick's thinking, no wonder I had to interview 20 guys for this job. What's the coach? I'm joking.
That's good.
I'm joking. But no, I yeah, this I think linebacker is a concern right now. So we'll see what happens.
Nick's thinking, "Hey, Howie, who's going to be our CJ Gardner Johnson? Who's it going to be?"
Yes,
he's like bugging him every day. Hey, who's it going to be? Who's it going to be?
You always have a trick up your sleeve.
Yeah, yeah, I know. You got this, right? Yeah. Who are you going to get?
Yeah.
And Howie's thinking, "Oh Jesus, who am I going to get?"
Yeah. Howie's saying, "Geez, how can I get one over the Saints this time?" You know. Right. Who do they have?
Demario Davis.
Exactly. Yeah. Howie calls up. Kamara was just suspended. You know, you guys are building. This guy's older. Does he really fit within your timeline? Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think Howie's thinking. It's a good thing this position doesn't matter.
Yeah, that is probably what they're thinking. Now, we've won games before with less.
Mm-hmm.
So. Safety.
Nick is thinking, I better spend more time on the offense because we're going to score a lot of points. He's thinking, I'll tell you what, this Reed Blankenship guy, man, he loves ball. This guy encapsulates all five of my core principles. I love that. This guy's he's exactly what I'm looking for in a football player. And I like this Sidney Brown. I like the way he moves. I want to get him up. We need to give him some time. But I trust Sean Desai. This is his baby, the safety position. Play him 40 yards deep if you need to. But he can't be good everywhere.
And Howie?
Howie's thinking, I'm so glad that I discovered Reed Blankenship all by myself out of Middle Tennessee State. Pat myself on the back for that. What a find. We are, if you look across the league over the past 10 years, nobody's had bigger impacts from undrafted free agents than we have. And every year we've got undrafted free agents making an impact. So that's something I'd like to disseminate to all the agents out there. Just remember, when you're looking for a place to sign, Philadelphia is a good place to land. And
what's the expression? It's not bragging if it's true. I mean, they've done a good job on UDFAs.
And
that's why your Cam Crush is always hit.
And Sidney Brown, it's our Red Star guy. I'm ready. I don't know what we're wasting time on. Let's just make Terrell Edmunds a linebacker. Let's get this guy on the field. What's the wait?
Exactly.
The sooner we can get him in, the better he can get sooner.
Oh, I like that expression. That's a good one.
Let's start it right now.
Is that a football coach expression, or is that one you just brought in?
Just made it up on the fly, Zach.
That's a great one. Yeah. Okay.
So we're gonna, I don't know. I don't think it's that great.
I like that. I think he's saying Sidney Jones is a Red Star player. All our scouts loved him, right? Mm-hmm. And what we do as a scouting staff and a front office is we find the players, we hand them to the coaches, right? But this is one where you say, hey, I know you have a pecking order with rookies, but come on. This guy was a five-year player.
Yeah.
Right? This guy doesn't need the seasoning. Put him in there. We drafted him to play.
Yeah, I bet Howie had the exact same reaction. The one play where they went live today was with the threes, and Sidney Brown was on the field, and I'm like, get him off the field.
That's your starting safety?
Like, get him off.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so those are kind of the positions that are in the crosshairs, but I think this exercise shows that,
What do you think Howie thinks about the team as a whole right now?
I think Howie thinks they're loaded. Hmm. And they are, I think. I think Howie's saying, like, well, look, linebacker's a question, and that's top of the depth chart. I think Howie's saying, how many teams in this league would kill to make their biggest concern depth wide receiver, depth O-line, like all these backup spots.
You can't have a perfect roster, save for last year, which is a unique situation. And if the worst position on our team is the least important position on the field, that's okay.
Yes. And I think he's saying, man, we're loaded and we don't have any major starters who are free agents at the end of this year. And we have a first and 2 seconds. I did a good job here. This is setting up pretty good.
You beautiful bastard did it again.
And then he's saying, man, you see the contract that Justin Herbert signed, and you see the contract that Lamar Jackson signed, and you see the contract that Joe Burrow's going to sign. We were first in the market for a reason, right? Mm.
And he's thinking, I wonder who I want to let introduce me in Canton. Who do you think it'll be?
Chip Kelly. No.
Could be Sidney Brown.
I don't know.
Some celebrities at practice today, Zach.
Jim Cramer. Yeah, well, you a Mad Money guy?
No.
I went to a live taping once of Mad Money. What's so funny? In 2000...
I asked you today if you were a Jim Cramer guy.
Yeah,
and you said, no, you didn't offer that information.
I don't watch it anymore, but there was a point in my life when I did. Yeah, when I was... There was a point in my life when I used to have it on in the background. And so Yeah, I went to a live taping back in 2010. It was in like Englewood Cliffs, maybe. Mm.
Did that ruin the mystique of the show for you? Were you sad to see how the sausage was the Kramer sausage was made? Was he yelling at you?
No, it's actually interesting to me because this was before I did like Comcast Sportsnet. I did Comcast Sportsnet for 7 years. And this was before I had a lot of experience, like a live studio, you know, a live TV feed. I had done TV at that point like 3 or 4 times. And it was like amazing to see just the whole process, how a live TV, how live TV is done. Mm. More so than any of the like financial stuff. That's what jumped out to me.
And how little he cared about the actual information he was disseminating that people were listening to and taking as gospel.
I mean, I don't recall that as
much. It's an entertainment show. It's not an advice show, right?
Mm. Well, anything on television should be entertainment, right? That's why you're watching.
I saw him cozying up to Adam Berry. Is it Adam?
Okay. Yes.
Who, of course, worked on Wall Street. I bet Adam Berry was thinking, I just like the whole reason that I got into football was so I didn't have to talk to you people anymore. Please leave me alone.
What do you mean, you people?
Jim Cramer's.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, felt bad for Adam Berry in that moment.
Local guy, I think he went to Springfield High School. Jim Cramer.
Yeah, he was. I thought the low of the totem pole of.
Okay. Who were your highs today?
Well, the most exciting by far was Moses Foku.
Yeah, you were pumped. You saw Mo. I hear you.
It's my guy. I love Mo. Moses Foku. We came in together in 2009.
Two ACC guy.
Seventh round pick. Had the journey on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Watched him grow into a starting linebacker. One of my early favorite players, no doubt, on the beat.
Mo and Clay Harbor hanging out.
Yeah, it was funny. They said we used to really not like each other on the field because they would have to go up against each other. So we had some battles. Mm. I bet Mo won more of those.
How about Trent Cole in the house?
Trent Cole, yeah. You guys were talking about your similar leanings.
Bo, come on. Bo, stop. I'm not getting that. Come on.
And the Blue Meanie.
What's that?
The Blue Meanie was there.
The Blue Meanie. Who's
the Blue Meanie? Meanie?
Who's the Blue Meanie?
The Blue Meanie from ECW. Ah. He was wearing green. He was the Green Meanie today, but yeah, he was there. And Ryan Phillippe.
Yeah, I saw that.
Mm. Are you a big Phillippe guy?
Honestly, don't know much about his stuff. I will say when I was I caught myself. Look, 5 years in, I'm getting smarter.
Well, what did you catch yourself? What were you going to say?
I was going to say something that was going to get you to set up, or that you would have made fun of me about for the next.
Was it about like how much you liked Cruel Intentions as a teenage
yes.
boy?
Yes, okay. Exactly. Yes. That's precisely what I was going to say. When you're in sixth grade and you watch Cruel Intentions, man, you're
just, all of a sudden you're in seventh grade.
So yeah, that's what I was about to say, but I didn't want to give you any ammo. I mean, you have enough fake ammo.
I know you well enough. Yeah.
Yeah, you have enough fake ammo. I don't want to give you any real ammo. So yeah.
Speaking of ammo, let's get back to Trent Cole. All right. Anything else? This is your show.
And then, well, I'll reset the schedule here a bit. So the Eagles don't have practice for us to attend tomorrow. Sunday, they have their first and only public practice of the summer. It's at 7 o'clock, I believe, at Lincoln Financial Field. Proceeds go to the Eagles Autism Foundation. That practice, I think they'll do more team stuff than they typically do. It's more, they don't show much, but they do more highlight type stuff. So it'll be interesting to watch. I can't imagine it'll be very long. The Eagles don't practice on Monday, then practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, a 3-day stretch next week leading into the preseason opener. Of course, the NFL preseason started last night. Birds with Friends was tuned in to watch number 68 on the Cleveland Browns, Michael Dunn. Shout out to Michael and Marissa. It was Michael's first game as a father. So we were pumped to see that. And that that about does it. We hope everyone has a great weekend. Check out Bo's.
Hold on. Claire in the comments says that Topanga is coming to Philly. Is ZB going to attend? What is she coming to Philly for? Oh, look at this.
What's that?
There's a show called Pod Meets World. This is with Danielle Fishel, Ryder Strong, and Will Friedle from Boy Meets World. They do a podcast. They're coming to Philadelphia at the Met on September 30th, Zach. You should go. You should bring Emily.
Yeah, first off, that is the night before Emily's birthday. I promise you we will not go to that. Second, I actually don't have much interest. I mean,
might be some fireworks between the two of them.
If
fighting over you.
If West Wing Weekly had a live podcast, I would be there. I mean, look, I can get no Jed Bartlett conversation with anyone, but
even with Emily?
Look, there have been times when she's woken up at like midnight or 1 a.m. and saying, "What are you watching?" And I'm saying, "Oh, this is one of the best ones. See what happens here when Mendoza gets onto the Supreme Court." Teaser, I'm sorry, or not teaser, spoiler alert.
I don't think you're spoiling that for anybody.
Yes, but man, I mean, I can get deep in the West Wing, but.
What's her response? She rolls over and goes back to sleep?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She's generally not interested in what I watch. I'm generally not interested in what she watches. We have a few crossover shows, including Hijack, which ended this week. A fun finale. But that's she doesn't watch working. Hi Zach. Well, I'm looking forward to she'll say hi Zach when I leave the room here.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Birds with Friends. Thanks to everybody for watching. Thank you to everybody. We'll talk to you on.
Wait. I'm sorry. Real quick here. I didn't mean to cut you off. Real quick. We'll be quick. Someone says, "What are ZB's thoughts on the standing ovation for Trey Turner?"
Oh, we needed to get this in.
I mean, look, Trey.
Real quick. We gotta.
I want to weigh in on this. Fans can do whatever they want; they're fans. But I don't see such a distaste for. I don't see why there's such a distaste for Trey Turner. That's my opinion. And I think there's enough of a track record for success that he's going to turn it around. I would be optimistic about Trey Turner long term. I mean, if you can buy Trey Turner stock, buy it. The one other thing I would add in.
If you only had enough money to buy stock for Trey Turner or DeAndre Swift, who would you buy?
Trey Turner.
Probably more expensive stock. But I guess I said you only have money for one. So.
Yeah. And then last thing I just want to say, I didn't mean to cut you off. We have some good stuff coming up on The Athletic. Bo and I both have some features we've been working on. And so in these next it's been practice report heavy for the past, 2 weeks, but I think in the next 7 to 10 days, you'll see some stories there that we're excited for you to read. So make sure you continue checking that out on The Athletic.
Okay. Any other fake controversies you'd like to weigh in on before we end the show?
Well, your boy Jeff Stoutland weighed in on it, right?
Okay.
He said, "Give a standing O."
Yeah.
So in Stout, I trust.
Okay. That'll do it for this episode of Birds with Friends. We will talk to you on Tuesday for Zach and Kent and Zach's boy Trent. We will talk to you on Tuesday. Thanks for listening. And as always, we love you. Birds with Friends.